Let's open our Bibles here this morning to Mark chapter number 16 today. Mark chapter number 16, and we are finishing up our series that we've entitled The Way. And we have been watching the path that Jesus has walked and cleared for us, leading up to Easter and now afterward to see some things that he wants us to do as well. We're going to pick up in verse number 14, read down to verse 16, and then have a word of prayer together. So let's look at verse number 14. Afterward, he, Jesus, appeared to the 11 by themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in our week that we have gathered together, Lord, to worship the name of Jesus. And God, that is the only name that we want to exalt today. And you have promised that if the name of Jesus is lifted up, then you would draw all men to yourselves. And we pray that you would draw each of us to your side today. God, there's some that need to trust Jesus as the way of salvation. And as we spend some time talking this morning about what Jesus has done for us and what he wants for us, I pray those who have yet to trust Jesus as Savior would do so today. And God, I pray for Christians, for believers today, that you would help us to walk the way that you have prepared for us. Lord, that we would not be shy about leading others in the way, but we would make it our life's purpose, our life's goals, to direct others to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, if we've not been doing that, I pray that you would convict our hearts and help us to make a commitment today to do just that. Work in our hearts as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you that are joining us maybe for the first time in person or online, when you see the way, you're like, well, what are you kind of talking about? Like, what is the idea behind this? And it comes from Star Wars, of all places. And I am a firm believer that we can look just about anywhere in the world and use that as an illustration to bring people to Jesus and draw their attention to him. And it's an example that Jesus himself exemplified. You know, as he's walking along, he says, "Hey, look at these grapes here." And he begins to teach a little lesson. "Look at this tree," and so on and so forth. And so he used the surroundings to point things to himself. And so we're using Star Wars. And I know not everybody's a Star Wars fan. And so to kind of fill you in on, well, where did the title come from? I was watching a Disney Star Wars TV show called The Mandalorian. And there's a group of these people that are constantly throughout the series saying, "This is the way. This is the way." And of course, my kind of warped pastor mind started working, and I was reminded of what Jesus said in John 14:6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so we've kind of taken that and are diving into who Jesus is. But for those of you that aren't familiar with Star Wars, one of the main themes that we kind of see throughout it is this idea of a mentor who would come along and guide people in the way of the Force. And so for those of you that are my Star Wars fans there, I want you to think about your favorite mentor in Star Wars, someone who guides someone else along. And who would that be for you? Who would you say is my favorite mentor figure in Star Wars? Somebody want to share with us? Yes. Yoda. Yeah. The wise Yoda, and how he imparts that wisdom, that knowledge, that experience down. Somebody have anybody else besides Yoda? Yes. Obi-Wan. Yes, Obi-Wan Kenobi. In fact, he's the first mentor in Star Wars that we're introduced to as they were made. And so he was quite the mentor. Good, Obi-Wan. Anybody else have any? You have anybody else that is your favorite? My favorite mentor is. All right, we got a few of them. Qui-Gon Jinn is one. I know that's some people's favorite figure. Yes.
Another one is
Yes, the emperor. Yeah, that's not a mentor you really want to have for yourself, but for those that aren't familiar, he's the one that leads them to evil. So he mentors Darth Vader in being evil, and perfect for Eric to mention that here today. I don't know, typecasting or what, but you know, there is a mentor that if you're just going through it, you may not think of her off the bat, but she actually has a very powerful force on Anakin, and that is Padme. Padme, even though maybe not an official mentor, she went a long way in helping to guide Anakin in positive position. And I was talking with somebody this week. I think I was talking to Bobby this week, and we were relating about the fact what a powerful influence a good woman can have on our lives. Like my wife has mentored me. She has a long way to go, okay, in mentoring me. But she's brought me a long, long way with the Lord's help. But when we look through the scripture, we see Jesus' example of guiding and leading people along. I mean, he spent 3.5 years just kind of guiding the disciples in the way that he wanted them to go. And he was very open about the way and the path that he would have to walk. And we mentioned the way of suffering and everything that Jesus went through for us. We talked about the way of death and how he allowed his body to be broken, allowed his body to shed its blood and gave up the ghost, breathe his last breath to pay the price for our sin. And last week we talked about the way of life and how that Jesus conquered sin, he conquered death, and because he is alive, he offers us everlasting life. And so Jesus was very open about that with his followers. This is the way that I'm going to walk. And he was also very open, and that's the way I want you to walk as well. I've cleared the path for you, and I want you to walk in this way. And so that's what we're going to talk about here this morning in Mark chapter number 16. And we want to encourage everyone today to walk this way. And we pick up the story in verse number 9 of Mark chapter number 16. It says this, "Now when he's talking about Jesus. Last week we saw him rise from the dead. Remember the women that came to anoint the body of Jesus and they didn't find him. And the angel said, hey, he rose like he said he would. Come look at the place where he was. And so they find it empty. And of course, Jesus appears to them and says, hey, I'm alive. Run and go tell the disciples that I've risen just like I said I would. And so we pick up in verse number 9 here. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. And I love that Jesus chooses to first appear to this woman. And this is a woman who had her life totally changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can identify with that, if you've had your life totally changed by Jesus, would you just raise your hand? I want to see you, who you are. Your life has been totally changed by Jesus. Thank you. You can put your hand down because Jesus is in the business of changing lives. And here he comes to this woman first. And I love Jesus' heart for women. Because during this time period, we're talking about the fact that she goes back and tells the disciples, that, hey, Jesus is alive and I saw him. During this time period, a woman could not testify in a court of law. Her testimony, her witness did not count. But we see Jesus has a high value on women. And everywhere true Christianity has gone, the position of women have been elevated as a place of value and worth, as in the way that it should be. And so he appears to this woman whose life has been changed, saying, hey, you don't have to be upset. There's no reason to sorrow. I am alive just like I said I would be. And so Jesus appears, he comforts her, and then he says, hey, go tell them. Go tell the disciples. Run back and tell them. And so she does that. And you can just imagine how excited that she would be. I mean, I think about somebody that you haven't seen for a long time. Somebody maybe you never thought you would see again. And all of a sudden, you have an opportunity to come together again. You know, I think about Sherry's little surprise reunion on the beach with one of her friends at Easter. You didn't even know they were coming, did you?
I hadn't seen her in 10, 12 years. And she just reached out on Facebook once in a while, liking a post. And they actually traveled from the villages. They live in Illinois.
Yeah.
They're looking for a place in Florida. They saw all the advertisements for our service and decided to get up early Sunday morning, drive to our service, and I invited her to come for breakfast, but they wouldn't, and then they drove 2 hours back.
Yeah.
And
that's so awesome. And I saw that. You know, after not seeing this person for 10 years, to have them show up on the beach at Easter service, and I saw the excitement in the photo, like, that's exciting. And many of us have experienced that, seeing somebody, I never thought I would see this person again, and here they are, and what a wonderful reunion that is. So you can just imagine the excitement of Mary as she's running back to the disciples. Hey, I've seen Jesus. He is alive. He has risen. Disciples are like, no. Like, shut up, Mary. What are you talking about? You've gone crazy. Like, are the demons back in you? Like, what happened? And so they do not, and you notice what it says in verse number 11 at the end there. It says, they would not believe it. They would not believe it. And that's some people's stance with Jesus, is they are against Jesus, and they say, hey, I will not believe it. I will not. And it's kind of a force of will inside of them, that I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe what you say, Mary. And they discount what it is that she says. Continuing on in verse number 12, it says, after these things, Jesus appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Now, how many of you have had the experience of someone not believing you when you've told them something that was true? Have you had that experience before? Like, I've definitely had that experience, and that's a little frustrating. That can make you angry at times too. And so it tells us about a circumstance where Jesus meets two disciples. And in one of the other gospels, it gives a little bit more information. These guys are leaving Jerusalem. They're walking back to where it is they're from. They believed in Jesus, and they were followers of Jesus. And Jesus just kind of shows up while they're walking and talking, and he just starts talking with them. And they start to talk about everything that had happened, and it tells us Jesus goes through the Old Testament and shows them how all these things in the Old Testament pointed to him and what he would accomplish in dying for us, in rising again. And he reveals that information to them, and then he reveals himself to them, that, hey, it's me, guys. I'm alive. And once again, you can imagine the excitement. Here's this person that you have followed, and we don't necessarily know for these two individuals how long they've been following Jesus, but it appears they've been following him for at least some time, and you can imagine the excitement that this person that you were following shows up, gives you a quick Bible study on how all of that was supposed to lead to him, and then says, hey, go tell them. Go tell the rest. And so they make their way back and told the rest, but it tells us, but they did not believe them. So they wouldn't believe. And see, this is where I have to come to my boy Thomas's defense a little bit. Because we talk about doubting Thomas all the time. My name's Thomas. And we get on Thomas for not believing until Jesus shows up. Remember what he said? He said, I will not believe until I can put my hands in the nail prints and my hands in his side where they thrust the spear. And that's what Thomas said. And sometimes we get so hard on him because he wouldn't believe. Listen, all the disciples wouldn't believe until they saw it for themselves. Not just Thomas. Even the rest of them, they didn't believe. You have Mary come in saying, hey, Jesus is alive. Nah, I don't believe it. These two other disciples come in. Hey, he's risen. We spent some time walking with him, talking with him. He explained the scriptures to us. It was awesome. I don't believe you. It's not until Jesus shows up in their presence that they actually believe that he is alive. And we get in verse number 14. Now Jesus is going to appear to the 11. Remember, it was the 12. And of course, Judas betrayed Jesus and went out and hanged himself out of guilt. Verse 14 says, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. So Jesus shows up in their presence. And it's not one of those, at least we don't get the idea at the beginning. I mean, Jesus told them not to be afraid. But it wasn't one of those, just grab them, hug them, excite. It's like Jesus is like, man, what's wrong with you guys? Like, I sent people to tell you, I sent Mary to tell you that I was alive and you would not believe her. I sent these two other followers to tell you that I have risen like I said I would, and you would not believe. Why won't you believe? And he really gets down to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter was the hardness in their heart. That's really what unbelief is all about. It's having a hard heart. And you know, I grew up in an environment where if you didn't do church the same exact way we did, and we heard supposedly God was doing something, you know what our mindset was? It wasn't God doing it. Oh, it must have been the lights, it must have been the music, it must have been this, or it must have been that. You know what that was? That was hardness of heart. Hey, let's not be so quick to throw cold water on what God's doing in the world. Amen. If we hear about God working and moving in other places, why are we so quick to discount it? I mean, God shows up in a lot of different ways in people's lives. And he is such an amazing God to reach out to us in different ways. Yes, Jesus is the only way of salvation. We've spent plenty of time talking about that. But that doesn't mean he can't use that style of worship over this style of worship and still work and move in a great way. That doesn't mean he can't show up and speak through a certain speaker who has this style versus a speaker who has maybe a different style. Listen, God can do that. God uses churches that are very traditional, very formal, and he speaks and moves and works in a great way. He also works in churches that have the lights and all the stuff, and he can speak and work through that too. Let's not be so quick like the disciples to just throw cold water on somebody else's experience or what God is doing in their life. And so if somebody's telling us something that's against Scripture, sure. Like, we filter everything through the light of God's Word. But if it's not against what's written firmly in Scripture, then, hey, it's fantastic if God is working and moving in that place through that circumstances and that channel. And so Jesus shows up and he says, listen, you guys have an issue of belief. And maybe that is your issue today. Maybe you're having a hard time believing what it is that we've been talking about. I mean, do you really believe that God took on human flesh and suffered and died in your place? Like, yes, I do. And maybe you have a hard time believing that. Open up your heart to that today. I mean, do you really believe that this guy died, was dead for 3 days, and then came back to life? Like, yes, I do. My eternal life hinges upon it. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins, and we are lost and condemned. So, yes, I believe it. And maybe that's the thing that you're kind of holding your heart against today. Hey, open up your heart to it. Soften your heart to the things of God. God wants to change your heart. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to draw you in. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus as he stood there before he died. He's looking over Jerusalem and the crowds and everything else. And it says, how I would have longed to gather my people together like a hen gathers her chicks. And then it's one of the most sad statements in the entire Bible. It says, but you would not. You wouldn't. Don't fall into that same category today where you will not believe. And so he rebukes them there. And then he wants to implore and encourage them. And verse 15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So here is the way that Jesus wants us to walk in. And it's the way that he modeled for us. He said, I want you to go out there and I want you to proclaim to everyone the gospel. Now, for some of us, we may not fully understand what the gospel means. Maybe we haven't been involved in church a long time, or maybe you just never had it explained to you before. Because sometimes people have a misrepresentation of what the gospel is. Okay, the gospel is not the whole Bible. That's not the gospel. Paul defines the gospel for us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. He says, I preach to you the gospel, and that's this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what the gospel is. So when Jesus tells his followers, I want you to go and proclaim the gospel to everyone, that's the message that he wants us to deliver. That ought to be our main focus in life as a follower of Jesus. And if it's not our main focus in life as a follower of Jesus, it's time to walk this way. It's time to get started with what it is that he wants us to do. Proclaim what he has done for us. He says, I want you to go out and I want you to tell it to everybody. And you say, well, why is that so important? Why is that so important to do? Well, let's look at the next verse, because Jesus explains to us why it's so important for us to go out and do this thing that he's told us to do. Verse 16 says this, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, first I want to give a little disclaimer on this verse. So when we're studying the scripture, we don't just take one verse and ignore everything else that the Bible has to say. So there's people that will take this one verse and this one phrase to say you have to be baptized in order to have eternal life. That's not what the whole of scripture tells us. So as we look at this verse, we can see very clearly the emphasis is on belief, not on baptism. It was just expected during this time period that if you trusted Jesus to save you, then you would be baptized. So those things are linked very closely together because it was automatically expected. You can go to Acts chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 8, and other places and see that. That it was expected. If you trusted Jesus as your Savior, your logical next step you did, and they usually did it immediately, was you would be baptized to tell everyone, I've trusted Jesus. But the emphasis is on the belief here. Because notice what it says in verse number 16 at the end. It says, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It does not say if you're not baptized, you will be condemned. And we can talk about the thief on the cross, one of those thieves that hung there with Jesus. He said, hey, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus didn't say, hey, let's stop everything. We got to get down off this thing and get baptized real quick. No, he said, today you'll be with me. It was his belief that mattered. In fact, we could spend some time in John chapter number 3. I don't have these on the screen because I just added them. But in John chapter number 3, some of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, I want you to listen very closely what Jesus says. Beginning in verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says you have to believe. Continuing in verse 17 there, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And then in verse 36 of John 3, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And so he makes it very clear, it's the belief in Jesus as the way of salvation that matters. If you've believed in Jesus as the way of eternal life, it says you have been saved, you have been born again, you have everlasting life. It says if you have not trusted Jesus to be your Savior, if you do not believe, you're condemned already. Not because you've sinned, not because you've done all this wickedness. Your condemnation comes because you have chosen to reject Jesus as the way of salvation. And I know there's people that say, well, I just want to, and I had a conversation with somebody recently. Well, I just want to clean up things in my life first, and then I'll come to Jesus. And I tried to explain to them as best as I could, listen, you can never clean up yourself. You are incapable. Listen, as a pastor, can I tell you something? My wife and my children will verify this. I'm a horrible person. Like, I am a horrible person. I am selfish, I am prideful, and I could go on and on and on, but you guys don't want to sit here for 2 hours. I cannot clean myself up enough to come to Jesus. And you can't either. You have to believe that he is who he said he was, that he did what he said he would do, that he would die for your sins, that he would rise again to offer you everlasting life. And so I want to challenge you here today. If you're here in our presence with us, maybe you're watching online and you've never trusted Jesus to save you from your sins, today's the day to open your heart to him. Today's the day to believe in him as the way of salvation. And if you have believed, Christian, what's stopping you from walking this way? What's stopping you from sharing Jesus as the way of salvation, of guiding others to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life? We're to give our lives wholly to that. There's no greater purpose. There's no greater thing that he's given us to do. Why? Because literally, eternal life and eternal death are on the line for every person that you ever come in contact with. We're not just talking about, well, yeah, their life depends on it. This life. No, it's a lot more serious than that. Talking about the rest of eternity. Will they have eternal life or eternal death? You are the one that Jesus wants to tell them. I'm the one that Jesus wants to tell. He wants me to tell the people that I come across. Why aren't we walking in the way? Why aren't we following his path? And a lot of us, whether we'd like to admit it or not, we have some people a little more open to, if we want to call it the dark side, really it's our own selfishness. And I know Eric very well, so I can joke with him. So don't be offended for Eric, okay? We are friends. But we're a lot like Anakin, where we want to choose our own way. I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to Obi-Wan. I don't want to listen to Yoda. These people don't know what they're talking about. I want to decide for myself. And that's the way some of us Christians live. Like, Jesus, I don't want you to decide for me. I know you've said this is what you want me to do and the path you want me to walk, but guess what? I want to walk over here. We just looked at the life of Jonah to see how that kind of life lives, how that turns out. Hey, he's laid the example in front of us. This is the greatest thing that you can give your life to. It's the greatest thing that I can give my life to. He says, that's the way that I want you to walk. Are you here this morning and you need Jesus to totally change your life? Hey, today's the day for you. Christian, are you walking in the way? We need to walk this way. Mark chapter number 16, verse 14 says this, Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." We need to stop walking in fear and doubt and start walking the way of faith and obedience today.